We want to welcome everyone out to our city council meeting this evening and welcome everyone who's here. We have some new faces. This is their first council meeting tonight, and we want to recognize Nicole Martin and Jared Henderson, who are new to our council and grateful to have them here. And we welcome again everyone here tonight. I would like to begin with a invocation by Isaac Oliphant, and then the pledge by David Oliphant. So, Isaac, if you'll come forward, and then David, please. Isaac, just a second. We have some people coming in.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this day. We thank Thee that we could gather together to learn what we need to do, and we ask that we can be safe during this meeting, and we ask that we can accomplish what we came together to do, and we ask that we can help make good choices, and we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Would everyone recite the Pledge of Allegiance with me?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Isaac and David. I'd just like to make a couple of comments, if I may, just by way of information. I think the council's aware of it, but I'd like to publicly make mention of it. We have been notified by the Governor's Office of Economic Development that we have received a $25,000 matching grant, which we have the matching portion, which will be used for our Harriman Trails project. So we're excited about that. Very deserving, our organization who handles that portion of our city, and we're grateful to have that additional funding. We recognize that much has been said about our wonderful staff who have helped in our snow removal, and just want to reemphasize our deep appreciation for their efforts and recognize what they've done. And I know we sometimes, when we have such wonderful streets and they're cleaned off, we sometimes just take it for granted. But I can tell you, on Christmas Day, driving to some neighboring cities, I really appreciated getting back to Harriman because the roads were clean and they were presentable. I really appreciated that. I just want to make note, too, our corridor preservation funding has been approved. It will be $580,000, which will go towards extending our Harriman Parkway Road out by the cemetery, and we're very excited for that. That has gone to County Council for approval. But we anticipate that money will be coming within the city within a short period of time and can be used. Council, do you have any recognitions?
Just to add to your comment regarding the snowplow process for the Christmas Day storm, this is a good tidbit for the scouts, that there were 1,270 lane miles plowed that day and a total of 262 tons of salt used. So our snowplow drivers did a great job, and they had to spend part of their day away from their families on Christmas, so we owe them a debt of gratitude.
Yeah, we were informed that I think, as I recall, they were called out 2:30 in the morning, Christmas morning, and didn't go home till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And so lots of sacrifice for us so we can enjoy our families, and we again commend them for what they've done. Anything else anyone like to? Okay. Seeing none, we'll go into our public comment portion of our meeting. Let me just state that our audience members may bring any item to the mayor and council's attention. Comments will be limited to 2 or 3 minutes. State law prohibits the council from acting on items that do not appear on the agenda. So, again, young men that are here, this is one of our wonderful rights we have to live in America, that we can come and make a public comment and not be shipped to Siberia, whatever you said. It's wonderful to come and state your opinion, and we're grateful that we have that right and opportunity. So, giving that background, we'll open our meeting to public comment. Feel free to come. We just ask you to state your name and address if you feel inclined to come and make a comment.
Steve Garrett, 5443 West Janot Court. Today is a good day. I walked in and saw you guys up here, and I'm excited. I think this is going to be the best a council our city's ever had. I've looked forward to this day since, I guess, June, whenever it's been, whenever the filing, even though it's not me up there, I still feel like each one of you have something to offer, like our city, that's very valuable, as I think about each one of you. And I just want you guys to know that I think you guys are going to do a great job. And I also would encourage you, a lot of the things the city or the council does is very reactionary to what staff does, and a lot of that's going to be, or staff's what they need, and a lot of that's, you know, going to be that way. There's no way to change that, but I would hope that you'd put forth your own vision of, like, what you would like the city to be and where you would like the city to go. And I think that think carefully about what things the city should be involved in. Sometimes the city does things, and I'll give you an example about the extending the road out here for the SLR development. We passed a bond for that, and the residents ultimately have to pay that money for that road, and there's going to be some funds to offset that. But the I was talking to the finance manager, and there's a penalty for paying off the bond early, so it's not clear that those funds will ultimately be able to be put back into paying for that bond. So be careful about what the city does. Make sure it benefits the residents. I would just encourage you to do that. But I just want you guys to know that I'm excited, and look forward to the future. Thanks.
Thank you. Steve, if I might. Mayor, is that all right? I just wanted to say it's nice to see you still involved. I know that you put in countless hours. I think it's commendable that you put your name out there, and you did work hard, and I know that you have the city's best interest at heart. So it's good to see you. I hope you stay involved.
Thank you. Thanks, Steve, for your comment.
Tom Gertson, did you want to say something? Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay. No. Okay, anyone else? Seeing none, we'll close our public comment portion of our meeting and go into the approval of our minutes for November 17th, November 30th, December 9th, and December 23rd of 2015, and January 4th of 2016.
I'll motion to approve the November 17th, 2015 special city council meeting minutes with additions as noted in your recent email, and all other minutes as identified by the agenda and constituted in our packets.
And I'll second that.
A motion. Have a motion and a second. Any other further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, our minutes are approved. We'll now go to our reports, presentation, appointments, and we'll start with our first League of Harriman and South Jordan presentation. Let me just preface, Councilman Moser and I met with these young men, I think it was on December 4th, I believe, and they came and presented a wonderful project that they're working on, and I felt it would be very appropriate to have them come and present to our city council as well as our community and have them. I just think it's a very worthwhile subject. And they, and I thought I was a recycler, and I am, but they enlightened me on a number of things, and I think they'll enlighten you in terms of what can be recycled and what cannot be recycled. So with that being said, we're going to have them come up on this side of our room, and they're going to do a presentation. And we have a microphone here so that people can hear you. Okay.
I just want to say, I just want to preface what the Lego League is so people understand. The first Lego League is a competition where the boys get together. They give them a topic. This year was trash, and they had to research a problem and find a solution, and that's what their presentation is. There's also a robot portion where they have to program and do certain tasks with the robot, and there's a presentation on core values. So that's what the boys have been involved in.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Is that on?
That's on.
Okay,
yes.
Got it.
Just hold it right up to your mouth.
Okay, so this is our presentation for a thing called Lego League, as he mentioned. There are three different portions, and this is one of the portions, and it's a project. So I'm Nathan.
I'm Kaden.
I'm Joseph.
I'm Alex.
And so for this year's Lego League presentation, we had to do something related to trash. So we decided to do stuff that can be recycled because this is a huge problem. So we recently visited the Transjordan landfill, and we learned a few things, such as the Transjordan landfill is being refilled too rapidly, and we throw away too much recycling and recycle too much trash. So we each learned some facts about it, and we would like to share it.
What is the difference between a landfill and a dump? A dump is where they throw the trash in to a hole, then cover it with... And a landfill is where they have a hole, then fill it with trash, then cover it with dirt.
National recycling rates
are 47%, and Salt Lake County recycling rates are 50%. We need to recycle more so there's less trash at the landfill.
Every person every day throws away 3.4 pounds of garbage. In Salt Lake County, every person every day throws away 2,000 tons. That's equivalent to 2,000 elephants. We need to recycle more so the landfill doesn't get filled rapidly.
The Transjordan landfill methane gases from the decomposing trash turn 4 electric generators, which can power up to 4,000 homes. However, like they mentioned, landfills being filled too rapidly for the landfill to have power to hold. So we created this game called Dumpster Dividing.
This is a game we like to call Dumpster Dividing. In this game, I'll pull out a piece of trash, put it in the correct bin, and then I will hand it to the next person in line, and they will put it in the correct bin, I mean. Okay, so let's get started.
So styrofoam takeout bins cannot go in the trash, even if they have a recycling sign in Utah.
This is a milk jug. The lid can go in the recycling because it's all plastic. The container, it can't because it has shards of metal and wax.
This is a pizza box.
This side with grease that has gone through cannot be recycled, so it has to go into the trash. And the side that has no grease gone through can go in the recycling.
This is a cereal box. The wrapper has to go in the trash because it's low density and can't hold its shape. And the box can go in the recycling.
This is a soup can in it. And since it is all metal, it can go in the recycling.
This is a takeout cup.
The straw cannot be recycled because it jams up the machines. And the cup cannot be recycled either because it has wax in it. But the lid can be recycled because it's all plastic.
This is a metal. This is a glass bottle. The bottle has to go to special recycling because glass can be recycled, just not in the regular recycling. And the lid has two materials, so it has to go to trash.
This is shredded paper. The bag cannot because it has is low density. The paper cannot because it blows everywhere, so it has to go in the trash. This is a napkin. It cannot go into the recycling because it has other materials than paper.
This is a yogurt pouch. The lid is all plastic, so it can go in recycling, but the pouch cannot hold its shape, so it has to go in the trash.
This is a costume kit, and if you rip the plastic from the cardboard, they can both go in the recycling. This is a paper bag, so it can go, and it is low density, so it has to go into the trash.
This is a phone, and it has to go to a special recycling center because it has gold and other precious metals in it. So besides from sharing this presentation with you, we shared it with some of our schools and some other schools. And people are the best recyclers, and that's why we decided to create this presentation, because machines will never recycle as best as us. So there's another part of Lego League that we also did, and it's a robot. It's a robot. And so you have to design a robot out of three different things. The robot brain, the motors and attachment, the motors and sensors, and Legos. So we designed ours like this, with some attachments to do special things on a board. So if you'd like to know more about recycling, we have special handouts on the back table. Thanks.
I've got a question back here for you,
my
young man.
My question is, now that I realize that I've been recycling completely wrong, what happens to all the stuff that goes to the recycle bin that's not supposed to be there? What do they do with that?
The recycling people at the recycling center have to hand pick it out.
They'll send that to landfill, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I meant landfill.
If it makes it, if it makes you feel better, you're not the only one doing it
yeah,
all wrong.
Exactly.
I'm guilty, guilty.
A gallon milk thing, you do the lid, but not the actual container.
If it's plastic, yeah.
I think you can do both.
Yeah, yeah, they're both plastic. You can go ahead. I was just going to mention to you, he mentioned about the, do you guys know where we can recycle here in Harriman, the glass? We talked about that when you came. Remember?
I think it's near the fire station.
Mm-hmm. Right here by us. So we have a container there for any glass items you want to recycle.
And regarding the plastic milk jug question, and also for water bottles, just please take off the caps when you put them in your recycling, because the recycling trucks need the ability to compress it and to maximize their space. So if you'll take that off, they can squish all the air out, and that helps a lot.
So, and Tom, if you're not recycling properly and you're filling up the landfill gets full, then we have to move it to somewhere neighbor city, and then a neighboring city, and then taxes go up and fees go up for the transportation on that. So that should be an incentive enough to recycle and keep our landfills open as much as possible.
Well, thank you, young man. We appreciate it. Very informative, and wish you the best of luck. Thank you.
The next item, we want to do a presentation for Connor Benjamin on his Eagle Scout project. And Danny, I think you're going to take care of that. Did you want to come up and introduce him? Right here. It's right here, Danny.
Council, I am very proud to be here to introduce to you Connor Benjamin. He has probably done the most work on an Eagle Scout project that I have ever been involved with. I'm very proud of him. He has really gone the extra mile. He put in a submission back in,
late spring, early summer.
He's worked his way through. He wanted to do the plaques for the cabins. And we really weren't really sure what we really wanted, so we sent him to the
historical committee.
And he worked his way through, well, many, many, many hours of trying to make it work with schedules and everything like that. But he didn't give up. He kept pursuing this project. And once he finally got the approvals to go forward, he not only did this project, but he raised over $600 by himself to make this project possible. And once he got the funds, he then went and had the plaques made. And on December 19th, one of the coldest days out there, he went and installed the plaques. So if you haven't been out to where the cabins are located, please make your way out there to see those plaques, because it's they're beautiful. He did a great job. And there were many, many revisions that he had to put up with us on. And Connor, would you like to say anything?
I guess I'll be brief, considering Shorty overlaid what I did.
I was so proud.
Hey, it's good. You probably explained it better than I could. I'll say that this project involves a lot of calling and talking to people. I can safely say now that I could probably talk to almost anyone without missing a beat. I have called so many different groups. Shout out here to all the local businesses around in Harriman and around nearby that helped provide some of the funds. It was appreciated, and we were able to raise $700 in addition to the money the city provided to install the plaques. And appreciated all the help the city's given me and making sure that my plaques didn't go in there with any egregious typos and the sizes worked and all everything. I had permission for everything, so it worked out pretty well. Thanks to the city for their monetary support and the support of its staff.
Thank you, Connor.
And he put up with me for months.
Thank you, Danny. Thanks for your help. Danny, we're going to come down and would like to get a picture with the Lego group as well as Connor, if that'd be okay. Is that right?
Is good?
Yep.
Okay, great. I like your competition.
Just do it the same way you're doing, just switch the garbage can.
Yeah, okay, great. That would solve the problem. Simple fix. For the fact that I'm doing
I'm almost inclined to accept a motion to close our meeting. But
I know, that was good. End on a high note?
Yes.
I almost seconded.
We have our consent agenda, and if the council will allow me, I'm just going to read for public record just the items on our consent agenda. Just so we already discussed them in our work meeting, but we would like to make this a public record. Item number one is approval resolution appointing a city recorder, deputy city recorder, and treasurer. They will retain as presently constituted, but we need to do a resolution to reappoint them. The second item is approval resolution electing a mayor pro tem for 2016. That will be Councilwoman Moser. Item three, approval resolution appointing Craig B. Tishner to the Wasatch Front Waste and Recycling District Board. Item D, approval of a resolution appointing Corley Westman Moser to the Unified Fire Authority Board. And the final item, consideration of a resolution approving interlocal agreement between Harriman City and the Community Development and Renewal Agency of Harriman. So I'll accept a motion to approve these items. Don't all say one.
I motion to approve the consent agenda as written.
Motion. I need one more, folks.
Second.
Okay. Have a second. Okay. We'll need a roll call vote. Craig?
Yes.
Nicole?
Yes.
Carly?
Yes.
Jared?
Yes.
And I will vote yes. Consent agenda is approved. Discussion action items. A, discussion consideration of an ordinance adopting a parking permit program. Gordon?
This is the PowerPoint I promised you in the work meeting, so I know you're excited. The reason we are considering a parking permit program tonight is we've had, over the last few years, a growing concern at the Black Ridge Reservoir with the parking issue. And so in order to solve that, we needed to implement a citywide ordinance that allows us to create parking permit areas. This area out in Black Ridge is going to get a little bit worse because of the, we're looking at charging for parking in the Black Ridge. We're painting some curbs red. We're going to do other restrictions that I think are going to cause people to want to, or could cause people to come and migrate to have transient parking, get out into the streets. Other locations where this will apply are colleges, transit facilities, and other places where we'd see transient traffic, commercial areas that would come into the city. And so this ordinance is basically could be used anywhere in the city, and it's very generic. This just kind of gives an overview because this will likely be first implemented in Black at the Black Ridge Reservoir. So kind of as a reference to this ordinance, the City Council is the only one that can approve each area, can reduce an area, expand an area, or remove an area. So it resides with you. And this is important to know because streets and sidewalks are considered free speech areas and they're covered constitutionally, so the council is the one that's going to vote when we give particular classes of people better access to them. Also, because there's costs and resources, and there'll generally be a few complaints. So in the basis of the ordinance, we're going to be requiring studies. There's some criteria that we put forward, and we can go through some of that more later, but it's very generic. It allows the city to consider, allow staff to bring competent information to this council before they make these decisions. This also hopefully will look at how we cover the cost for printing the material and so forth. This is kind of the cost element. We just wanted to make sure the council was good with that. We're right now the ordinance considers that each resident would get two regular permits, one guest permit for $25, and that would be allowed for each household. If they lose and need a replacement permit, it's $5, and that would be put in the ordinance, and those are things that council can consider on that. And we wanted to have that not vary from area to area. It, in the Black Ridge, we're going to be bringing you some more information. I just wanted to give you some ideas of that project. I don't know why it was part of this presentation. So we'll move past that. So before this can happen, we will need to get 51% of the people in the area to approve it. We will need to bring them a map with times and dates and seasons. We anticipate the Black Ridge will only be for certain months of the year and maybe not every day of the week and certainly not all times of the day. So it will be restricted to those, but that's not part of this ordinance. That will be done after the public hearing next month. Any questions?
No. Just a clarification then. If we at some point determine the fees need to be adjusted, those are things that we can easily amend in the ordinance. Is that correct?
We would just come to this ordinance and amend it.
Okay.
I was just going to make for public record, we discussed this quite lengthy in our work meeting prior to this meeting. But one of the positives about this that helped to settle my mind is that there'll be public input. And as Gordon has reiterated, 51% of the people affected will have to approve this before it can be put in place. This is probably going to be an ongoing document as we get public input, as we look at things perhaps over a course of a year. We're going to learn something about it, but I think it's a good thing to put in place as we take steps to protect the interests of individuals affected by these certain amenities which attract a high level of traffic. So I think it's going to be a good thing, and I appreciate our staff working laboriously to put this together, and I'm excited for it, and I'm hoping that our public will embrace it enthusiastically so that we can try to help accommodate them in that process. Anyone else would like to?
Yeah, I would like to say, having discussed this in our work meeting, one item that we did discuss, and I want to see if the council is amenable to this, would be to add to this ordinance an element of evaluation. So if we could perhaps add in the whereas that we direct staff to review and evaluate the effectiveness of the established parking area after 1 year, just to make sure that we're making progress and attaining the goals that we set out when we established the area.
I think John has written something similar to that. You said you did, right? About the reevaluation.
Yeah, I mentioned it to you.
Oh, you mentioned it. And also, we went from two residential units to 10. And so there were a couple changes that we felt really great about changing.
Perfect.
Okay. Any other discussion, comments? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll motion to approve Ordinance number 2016-01 with the following adjustments to authorize the ordinance renumbering of the subsections as observed in the City Council work session, to adjust the two residential units to 10, and to incorporate the language suggested by Councilmember Martin regarding a review period at the end of 1 year, and we'll leave that to our legal counsel to create those items by ordinance.
Okay, I have a motion.
Second.
Okay. I have a second. Councilwoman Moser?
Yes.
Or Martin Scarm. Okay. So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on this item? Seeing none, we'll call for a vote. Jared?
Yes.
Corley?
Yes.
Nicole?
Yes.
Craig?
Yes.
I vote yes. That motion carries. Go to 5B, discussion consideration of a resolution adopting the parameters resolution authorizing the refunding water revenue bond series. Alan?
As we go through our bonding and work with our financial representative at Zions Bank, we periodically look at our financing to see if we can do better refinancing it. Currently, we have an opportunity with our water revenue bond 2007 series to refinance it. At today's interest rate, we expect that this would save us about $722,000 over the course of 18 years. We're projecting in this parameters resolution a maximum coupon rate of 5% for $9.1 million on 18 years. 18 years is what's remaining on the current bond, so we're not going to extend it at all. We're just going to refinance it at current rates. As happy as we were with the 3.19% we got on our recent bond that we gave, right now rates are closer to 2.8. So we've gone down, and particularly with this one, when the Fed raised the interest rate in December, they raised the short-term interest rates, which actually the long-term have stayed fairly low. The short-term has gone higher. And so this type of refunding actually gains some extra return by that type of market. And so right now, as it stands right at the market today, this bond would save $722,000 to refinance at today's rates. Now, where this is a refunding bond, you approving the parameters resolution, we move forward to it. That does not require a public hearing. So the next thing we would do would be at the pricing point where we actually determine whether or not the rates in the market have stayed consistent with what we think they are at this point.
Okay. Again, this item was discussed in our work meeting. Any other discussion you might have as a council?
This is a make-sense deal. We will either save money if the rates are good when we're ready to make that, when we're ready to refund the bonds, or we will preserve the rate that we presently have. So this will only serve to benefit taxpayers. So I think we're ready to move forward.
Okay. I'll accept the motion. I'll read quite a bit.
Go for it, Jared. Okay, I'll motion to approve resolution number R06-2016 authorizing the issuance and sale of not more than $9,100,000 aggregate principal amount of water revenue refunding bonds, Series 2016 bonds, fixing the maximum number of years over which the Series 2016 bonds may mature, the maximum interest rate over which the Series 2016 bonds may bear, and the maximum discount from par at which the Series 2016 bonds may be sold, providing for the publication of a notice of bonds to be issued, providing for the running of a contest period, providing for the preparation and distribution of a preliminary official statement, authorizing the taking of all other actions necessary to the consummation of the transactions contemplated by this resolution and related matters.
Second, as stated.
I was just going to have you read that over again. I didn't quite. I'm glad I had you. Okay. Got a motion? And a second.
Second.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, we'll go for a call vote. Nicole?
Yes.
Craig?
Yes.
Curly?
Yes.
Jared?
Yes.
And I'll vote yes. That motion carries. Item C, discussion consideration of the Harriman Live Capture and Relocation Plan. Justin?
Catch your breath here real quick after reading.
Oh, I'm good. Let's go.
I will say the only bad thing about what just happened is Gordon was here to hear we saved money.
Oh, right.
He's already got his calculator out.
He does. So, Mayor, Council, we're going to talk about deer again. We're two new council people that know they've been around to hear it, but so I put a few slides in to kind of bring you from where we started to where we are now. Just a couple. We'll talk about this issue and then hopefully move forward. So the purpose of the plan is we have a deer problem. And it just kind of lays out what our issues are and why we're trying to put together a plan is, you know, safety, health and safety of our residents, private property damage, those types of things. One of the biggest issues is the auto deer accidents that we're trying to help reduce. Our goals, improve safe roads and highways, significantly reduce the number of deer within the city to manageable level. We worked with the Division of Wildlife Resources to somewhat determine what that level might be. And then one of the most important is promote a safe and cost-effective deer removal program as a public service to the local community, and then reduce private and public property damages. Somewhat of a timeline here. July of 2014, we had an open deer, urban deer open house. August, we had council public hearings. October, there was a lot that happened there towards the end of October, or 2014. Then as we were working through the plan of the beginning of 2015, We had another deer plan, a deer open house, because it was the plan or the rule that the Division of Wildlife Resources approved, laid out certain things we had to do. We had to get public comment. We had to, our plan had to somewhat fulfill what the public wanted. So we had another open house. We had a certificate of registration is what the core approval is. That's approval from the Division of Wildlife Resources of our plan. Then our council adopted it in October 15th, and the plan had a lethal and non-lethal, and October 30th was the first day that we took action on the plan. This is just a copy of the core. It lays out all the things that we can do to mitigate these deer. It gives us dates throughout the year when we can lethally take, non-lethal, how many animals we can take, all those things. It lays out basically our guidelines on how we can remove these animals. So we had to do a painstaking counting of deer. How accurate it is, I don't know. It's fairly accurate. We had our public works employees, as they drove through the city, they had maps and they marked out on the maps where they saw deer, what dates, how many. It was a great effort. All the departments took part in it, and it was a great help to us. So based on those numbers, we set an objective after action plan to remove 400 animals over a three-year period, of which the core is approved for 3 years. Okay. And those animals can be taken by using two methods, lethal or non-lethal, based on that. The lethal plan has been adopted. That's what's adopted in October of 15. And tonight we're going to look into getting your nod or approval on this non-lethal plan. Like I said, it's active for 3 years. After that three-year period in 2017, we'll have to go through the same process if the council deems they want to go forward again with the deer mitigation program. Like I said, we can remove 400 deer. The lethal removal can happen between August 1st, December 31st. It can happen from October 1st to December 31st, not October 31st. We can only take male deer if we choose to between August 1st, October 31st. We can't take any bucks if we choose to through November and December, because that's their rut season or mating season. The non-lethal is approved for year-round, only on the approval of the Division of Wildlife Resources when we can and can't do it. And there's a few reasons why we'll go into that here. So this is somewhat of what the lethal non-lethal plan looks like. It tells us the trapping period, methods in which we can trap, how we can trap, how many people can be there, need to be there, those types of things. So it's a combined effort with the Division of Wildlife Resources, city staff, and volunteers. We spoke with Mule Deer Foundation and Sportsmen for Wildlife and Fish. They're both very interested in helping us, both with volunteers and funding, if we decide to go this route or utilize this route. Just because it's adopted doesn't mean we have to use it. It gives us the option to. Okay. It specifies the trap locations and requirements, the frequency of how often we have to visit the site once the trap has been placed. Us and the DWR go in and do an inspection of the lot to make sure that the property is suitable for trapping, and then we have to get written permission from the property owner to do so. It covers all the tagging requirements. All adult deer will receive a tracking collar, and they'll be tagged so that if they're seen in the wild, they can identify if these are transported deer or not. The tracking device will be used once the deer's captured. They take samples of it for disease and things like that. They radio collar them to make sure that if they come back positive with disease, they can track down that animal and eradicate if needed. It talks how the animals are supposed to be handled and the health of the animal. Talks about the timely process and how quickly we have to process the animal once the trap has been set or they've been caught. They do disease sampling, lice, and other health inspections, and determine if the animal is healthy enough for relocation. That will all be determined by the Division of Wildlife Resources, and that's all laid out in the plan. The Division of Wildlife Resources will cover all of their labor costs. Okay. And the city needs to cover our labor costs, which hopefully we can do with a lot of volunteer efforts. Obviously, city staff will be needed. The DWR is donating the first 30 radio collars, so which is a huge cost, $200 each or so. So they're going to help us with that. They have some extras that they have not used this year, so they're willing to give that. And hopefully we can utilize those this year, save some cost. Future radio tracking devices will need to be purchased by the city, though. Go ahead.
Do you have any idea how many above and beyond the first 30 you anticipate needing? Is there any way to project that?
right now, I have a handful of people that have called saying I have deer in my yard every day, and so those are the first, and that's well over 30 deer based on what they've told us. So, now will we be able to trap all of those deer? Probably not. We'll set some traps, catch a few, and they'll probably move on to somewhere else and cause someone else to call. But
Justin, this question I had too. We designated a period of time for the lethal mitigation. Is there a period of time for not?
There's
you
not.
Can do it year-round?
We can do it year-round based on the DWR's approval. So a lot of times they'll give you approval in the wintertime. Sometimes they won't if the health of the deer is too poor because they don't have enough food and water. They don't want to try and trap and transport animals because it's fairly taxing on the animal. So they want them to be fairly healthy. So if the animal herds don't look healthy, they won't allow the trap and relocate. But they'll allow us to do it year-round.
Has there been any thought? I know this sounds harsh, but I look at the benefit we've done with the meat we've taken as we trap these. Is there any program or consideration given to trap them and then euthanize them and use the meat rather than having the cost of transporting? Because we understand there is somewhat of a significant percentage that, frankly, do not make a relocation.
There are a percentage that don't make the relocation. But the efforts that we're going to trap them and to relocate them, a lot of time, we're looking at volunteers being able to do that transport for us. So somewhat makes sense to be able to transport these animals to areas where mule deer herds are suffering in the state. So there's a benefit to both. So if we're going to go through the effort, we might as well transport them. But I could talk to the DWR about that.
Justin, two questions. How are you determining what method is being used? What criteria are you using versus the lethal and non-lethal is my first question.
So, as you can see, the cost to trap and relocate these animals can be fairly expensive. So, our preferred method would be lethal because it's the least expensive. As the mayor said, the meat can be utilized. It's been already donated to several families. And I was emailed stories and things that I could probably share with you of how grateful these people were to receive these animals. So there's a benefit there, not only on the cost, but how we can help our community. But the real determining factor is going to be we're not going to try and go in and lethally remove an animal where it's not suitable as far as in higher density subdivisions. If there's a deer trapped in someone's backyard, those types of things. So the non-lethal will more be used in areas where it's not very conducive to lethal take. Everywhere else, we'll try and do it lethally.
Lethal's your preferred then?
Yeah.
And is that at the city's discretion, or is that dictated by DWR?
It's at the city's discretion. The DWR will determine if we can go in and trap on a property. They have say in that, but they don't necessarily say what method has to be used.
So we're not, just because we have this option, we're not going to be forced
exactly.
to use it.
But don't we have a code, don't we have city code that restricts, isn't it? I can't remember how much it restricts us between a house, a residence, and where you can use a bow.
Right, so lethal, so you have to follow, so our plan, our lethal plan says you have to follow the guidance and the rules and the laws of the state. So you can't discharge any type of a firearm within 600 feet of a structure or road. So we've followed that now. It does, you can discharge it if you have approval to be on the property. But even if we have approval, it might not be safe to do so. So we want to utilize this where it's not necessarily safe to do so.
If I could just add, I don't know if it's because I'm mayor, but I've gotten a number, and I've been sending them to Justin. And in fact, Sunday I had an individual say he had 20 around his haystack.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of deer, I know, in this area, and I don't know about the rest of the of Harriman City, but in the older part of Harriman, I think they really got established here, and I think they kind of homesteaded right in this area. And so I think this is a prime area where the non-lethal is going to have to be.
Yeah, we're seeing this issue. Like, just in fact, Nicole and I were talking earlier that Holiday just came out. I didn't know if you see that on the news, that they're starting to look at different options to do these things because of this.
Has DWR given data for the two pilot programs out of, was it Highland and Bountiful that did the two different methods?
So Highland did a lethal program.
Do they share that data with the cities that are participating in the program in terms of success?
Well, the DWR necessarily hasn't necessarily, but the cities have. Yeah. And in fact, we're utilizing the same people to lethally take our deer that Highland that took in Highland. So I'm very aware of that program. That was a very successful program. Cost very little to the city, and they removed, over the two-year period of the pilot program, they removed over 150 animals and reduced their auto collisions by, I want to say, 60 to 70%. So it was a huge benefit there. The Bountiful program, I think they transported over 250 animals by relocation. And it was a great effort there as well. So.
Thank you.
So we'll go through and finish this up. So part of the process of the non-lethal, we trap the animal. The animal needs to then have samples taken, radio collars, tags, those types of things. There is a cost from the DWR to take these of $50 and not to exceed cost for medication and samples. So it could cost anywhere from $10 or $15 or up to $50. It just depends on what testing they do, but it's not to exceed $50 per animal. And then the city will cover the transportation costs either by staff or volunteer. And that was it. So any other questions?
Well, thank you, Justin. Appreciate it.
Tonight we're just looking if you somewhat approve of this plan. It's no resolution or ordinance, but say yes or no.
But let me just ask you too, is you mentioned you can go year round with this. What is your plan in terms of, so that, because I'm getting a lot of inquiries as to what, so is it okay if I refer them to you? And
well, yeah, and I spoke to all the people you've referred to me, and I told them that obviously now the plan's approved doesn't mean tomorrow we can go track. I didn't want to put, obviously I figured that you were going to say yes, but I didn't want to put all the effort into it before, but within a couple weeks, if the DWR determines that the herds here are healthy enough to transport, I would imagine we are. We're meeting with the SFW next week, and then we're meeting with Mule Deer Foundation the week after that to try and put together some plans for volunteer scheduling and things like that. So we're moving forward. We'll try and relocate if it's conducive throughout the entire season, if we can, the entire year. So we'll probably start here shortly, within the next month or so, I would imagine.
Thank you.
You indicated that there are some organizations that are willing to help with volunteers. Do they also have funding that may
they
be
do.
Able to be
yes.
used for the
so
collars?
Volunteers, funding, all sorts of things they've thrown out there. Trailers, donation to help transport the animals so we don't have to purchase our own right now, all those things.
Great. Thank you. And thank them for us, too.
Okay. I will accept a motion.
I think I can tackle this one. It's all on one page. Motion to approve the non-lethal deer mitigation plan as presented.
I'll second.
Motion second. Any discussion by council? Seeing none, we'll call for a vote. Jared?
Yes.
Carly?
Yes.
Nicole?
Yes.
Craig?
Yes.
And I'll vote yes. That motion carries. Our final item is a discussion consideration of a resolution allowing an exception to the ordinance to allow three flag lots on property located at 5724 West, 12900 South. Bryn?
Oh, my God. All right. If you hear me scream in the middle, that's because I just won $1 billion. So just ignore me. So this is a three-lot subdivision, three flag lots. You are seeing this. You don't usually see subdivisions because the ordinance only allows, our new ordinance only allows one lot on a flag lot. So the applicant is proposing, you can see the property there, They have one access out to the road, and then they'd like to do three lots in the back, three flag lots. So again, the new ordinance that we adopted in October only allows one lot on a flag lot. The ordinance does give the council the ability to give an exception in special situations. So that is why you are seeing this tonight. The Planning Commission had a public hearing on it. The Planning Commission has to make a recommendation to you, and then you make the final decision. The Planning Commission did recommend denial of the exception. They believe that we should, that they wanted to stick with our original ordinance, like I said, that we just approved a couple months ago, and keep it just to one lot on the flag lot. But it is up to you tonight for a final decision. The ordinance says, again, Gordon, can you click back for me? There you go. The exception is there, and you can read the ordinance, where unusual topographic, aesthetic, or other exceptional conditions exist. It does give you that ability, provided that such exceptions may be granted without substantial detriment to the public good and without substantially impairing the intent, you know, of the ordinance. My one consideration, again, the Planning Commission recommended denial. My one consideration would be if you do wish to do the exception, and again, that's up to you, there are other properties that have this same condition that this could apply to. So I'm not saying what you should do. Just consider that, and you might want to consider making a change to the ordinance. If the ordinance doesn't meet the intent of what you want, we can certainly alter the ordinance to allow this to apply to some other, you know, there's been a couple other people just since this in the last couple months but have talked to staff and the Planning Commission about this exact, you know, doing more than one lot on their flag lot. So again, we're happy to make a change to the ordinance if that's the way we want to do it. The Planning Commission recommended just sticking to what we had adopted. So that's what I have. I know the applicant is here. If you want to allow them to, you know, speak and give you their situation.
I just had a question, and I agree. We need to stay, you know, we put the Planning Commission in place. We support them for what they're doing. The only concern I have is the history of this issue. And as indicated, in 2007, it came before the Planning Commission. They denied it. Then they appealed to the council, city council, and then they approved it.
Right.
Then the question is, the council approved it, but who is responsible for recording that?
Applicant is.
Okay.
So it expires after 2 years if they don't record the plat. They had all the plans, and they can explain that to you. They had all the plans approved, the plat all ready to go, and she can, you know, verify this if she wants to. The sewer district requires a rather large bond when you record the plat, and at the time they just weren't prepared to do that, and so the plat expired after the allotted time.
Would you take a minute and address for us? I think we've rehearsed this before, but since we have some new council members, and for the benefit of those that are in the audience, the reason why we have concerns with having more than one lot serviced off of us, what we call the staff portion or the lane that would go back
right
to it.
Gordon, okay. We'll probably good on this one. Most of the issues are, again, are future maintenance, you know, sharing maintenance of that. If we just have the one back there, then we require that lot to own his driveway. He controls his own destiny, as Gordon would probably put it, you know. He controls the maintenance of it, doesn't have to share it. There's always the situation where it's family. It almost always starts out as family. But, you know, then lots sell and things happen, and then, you know, how do they control the ownership and the maintenance, and in the future when it needs to be, you know, plowed, or when they need to resurface it, or, you know, that becomes an issue. And then obviously the more lots you get, there could be safety concerns. They are obviously proposing a hammerhead, mm-hmm. which at the time met the fire requirements, and they didn't have a concern with that. But I think the ongoing maintenance in that is usually the biggest issue.
Thank you.
Were there issues? When was this ordinance put into place? It sounds like
October.
Fairly recently. And was it put in as a result of issues with prior flag lots? And what was the impetus of the ordinance?
It's been our policy, you know, our policy for years that we always allowed only one. And I can think of very rare exceptions where we've approved more than one. You know, this probably being one of them in the past. And having it be basically an unwritten policy in the past, we just wanted to codify it. Get it in the ordinance so it's no longer a, are we going to allow this, aren't we? You know, it's black and white when it's in the ordinance. But it's been our policy for as long as.
So if they recorded it back in 2007, they would already be there, those three houses.
If they recorded at the time, yeah, it would be in a done deal.
So that's the only hang up on their end.
Is they didn't get recorded.
Why was this an exception? What made the city council approve it as an exception when by practice it doesn't sound like we had done that before? You want to address that? She might address that.
I couldn't tell you their intent at the time. Maybe, okay. Yeah, you know what the. I don't get into the minds of the council at the time. But
does the applicant want to come in?
Yeah, you want to let them.
The original reason for the denial was we had proposed four lots, and with the hammerhead, it took it down to less than half an acre. So that was the reason for the original denial. And the only thing that did originally hang us up was the sewer district. They wanted a $60,000 cash bond from us, and I didn't have $60,000. I am in a position to move forward. We've already paid for all the engineering. We've already got everything in place. We met with the fire department. Fire department said they have no issue with this. Basically, it comes down to the city saying whether or not they're going to allow us to do this. We also have looked at access, because we had approached Walkers about additional access. Which we have been denied access any other way into the property. And when we originally submitted, we were told that the trucking company was going to have to be, or have to put in a road along the back side of the property once 5600 went in. There is no record of that now, but that was also supposed to be an access to us, which now is not going to be happening.
Any discussion?
This one's an interesting and a tough situation because on one hand, it was approved for whatever reason. The city council approved it. Playing the devil's advocate on the other side, we've put an ordinance in place, I think, to crystallize what we've had in practice for a very long time, and then given the Planning Commission the objective to follow the ordinances that we put into place. So that's what gives me pause with this is we've put in a new ordinance. We've asked the Planning Commission to abide by that, and then to deviate in the space of a few short months seems as if we don't quite know what it is that we want with this particular issue. So that's what's giving me some, creating a bit of a quandary for me right now.
So we passed that ordinance 6 months ago. If they came in 7 months ago, we would have approved it.
No, I don't believe we would have, because the Planning Commission would not have approved this, because it's been historical that they've not approved these. It's just, it hadn't, as Brent explained, it had always been the practice not to approve these. It just hadn't been codified in ordinance, but it was always the policy. Sorry. That's actually not what Bryn had stated to me when I came to the city meeting, that if we would have come in 7 months ago, that our chances were much higher that we would have.
Well, what I'm seeing here, we don't have a recommendation. Our ordinance states that the exception may be made by the city council after the recommendation of the Planning Commission, and the Planning Commission has not made a recommendation to us. Unfortunately, we'd be going against our own ordinance if we were to approve this. And the circumstance is certainly compelling, but we'd create a situation where we give precedent to all the other cases, and we don't need to have a lot of Pandora's box being open for all the other cases coming back.
How many other cases, though, had everything done and the engineering and approval? This is
back in 2007, though, and circumstances have changed since then with our city and our intent as a city.
I guess that would be a tough part for me, is there's no way for us to know. I mean, there's a lot of property owners that have done planning. They just haven't brought it. So I don't know. That's a tough one, because personally I want to help residents as much as they can, especially utilize property. Having seen firsthand the problems that flag lots create years down the road, I have to agree with the standing policy and the ordinance that was passed. I'd have to see some truly exceptional conditions to kind of overturn that.
I guess my question is it really best use of 2.23 acres in the middle of downtown Harriman to have one house sitting there right next to the library and tracks and the city center is that really best use of the property, because there is not going to be another access.
There, I think there could potentially be access, so there are definitely things that need to happen before that access would be opened. Perhaps, you know, eventually Walker may develop and then they may create an access.
They've already told us flat out that there will be a cold day before we ever have an access.
Okay.
This is hard, very, very hard, because I can see both positions, but I'm also inclined to say we do have policy that we have to abide by with our planning commission. So, yes.
Sorry, just a quick question.
We need to also get your name and address for the record. I forgot to ask you for that, please.
My name is Marie Pastana, and my address is 714 East Emerald Hills Drive in Bountiful.
Thank you.
Question for staff or anybody from Planning Commission is, have we had any other public input on this item? Other residents, other...
We had a public hearing.
Clint, did we have anybody
I can
that...
I tell you. Doyle Timothy is worried about drainage, that it's actually going to improve the drainage of the property for him, and when we pave the road, we can slant the property, or the drainage, so it no longer drains into his property. And the people who purchased the Stedman residence, I don't know his name.
Smith.
He said that if there was anything that we needed to have him do to help us, to let him know that he was all for having neighbors back there.
Dale, just come forward. If you could state your name and address, Dale. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, Dale Johnson. We're 5734 West, 12900 South. We're the property owners, and I just wanted to add that we've been there for 30 years. You know, we've had. It was our intention for our children to live there. We have three children. We, you know, set up plans for three houses. Back there, we have children with autism and attention deficit disabilities that we would like to have away from busy streets and, you know, main roads and stuff like that. But just, you know, we have long-term roots in Harriman. Our grandparents grew up here for many years, and we ourselves have been here for 30 years.
Thank you.
I guess maybe that's irrelevant, but I thought I'd add it.
Thanks, Dale.
My name is Charlene Johnson. I live at the same address.
Okay.
I also want to add that in 2009, as you all know, the economy went down the toilet, and that is the only reason things were not recorded, because we would have completely lost the property. We would not have been able to cover the taxes and to be able to keep the property for the children, and that is the only reason that it was not recorded at the time. That may or may not be a factor to you, but job situations in our family changed as a result of that decline, and significantly, as well as health issues. And that was also a huge factor in that decision to wait until the kids were in a position financially to be able to do this. We planned, we purchased this property, like we said, with the intention that our children would be there. That was the reason for the purchase of the property. I know that doesn't matter as far as ordinances, but it was approved previously. We paid $10,000 at the time, which was hard to come up with, to get those drawings done so that the children could be there. They paid those costs. It was a huge burden for them to do that. If the economy hadn't fallen apart, they would have built the homes. That doesn't matter to you either, I'm sure. But to our family, with health issues that we have, it is a huge, huge, huge burden that if we are not able to do it. If it's to drive us out of the city, I don't know. But that's what it will probably do.
They asked for original approval in 2007.
Yeah, economy goes downhill 2008, struggles in 2009.
Sorry. I'm Jed Kunzler at 15097 Cedar Meadow Circle.
Jed, let me just interrupt. We're just going to hear from the applicant, if that's okay.
Okay, I'm sorry. No, I'm here with the scouts, and I just thought,
you
go across the street.
I appreciate it, but this is not a hearing. And we made a courtesy to let the applicant do, so I'm sorry.
Look, things change on both sides. Things change on the city. Things change on their personal finances. It was an economic downturn. It was approved in 2007. I hear what they're saying, and things do change. Now, there may be a comment saying that there will be a cold day and bleep, that there will never be a road there. Things change.
Mm-hmm.
So there could potentially be a road there. And I'll be honest, I think there should be an exception for this. There's already flag lots in that area. And I'm going to throw this out there. I feel like I support this.
On the ordinance, we have this list of exceptions. And so what we'd like to do is, when staff looked over it, we couldn't see one that would apply to this case. So as opposed to just blatantly overturn the ordinance, we'd like to validate one of the exceptions if we're going to make that change. Or like Bren said, it would probably be better to go back and actually change the ordinance rather than just blatantly overturn the ordinance without having the ordinance. So I'm just going to leave that up, so if you want to look at that.
The problem is, Gordon, when I read this, it's pretty vague.
Okay. So
they can come in with...
Which one is an exception that you feel works?
So if there's an exception...
I guess that's what I'm saying. If you see an exception, use one of these items for the overturning of it. Or maybe direct staff to come back with the change to the ordinance if we can't find one here.
Maybe a question for John.
Then
the only thing that I see that can possibly apply is the vague wording of exceptional conditions. Mm-hmm.
That was my thought.
Where this had been approved at one point. Would that, as far as potentially setting a precedent for an ordinance that was just passed, I mean, would that hold up? In future discussions with this?
Well, you're the decision maker. You just have to determine whether this meets those conditions. And if you're going to do that, then help articulate and say the next guy who comes along is going to be different.
Right.
And here's why, but the next guy is going to say, well, you give it to them, give it to me.
Yeah.
That's what I'm Well, did they come in 2007 and ask for the approval and not get it recorded?
Well, that's what you would articulate as part of that rationale.
Uh-huh. And that, to me, is the exception of this title.
If it's okay, Clint, could you come and would you mind commenting? I know it's going to be pretty straightforward in terms of you're just abiding by the ordinance, but I'd just like to get your viewpoint on it. Because I know you struggled with it, I'm sure.
Absolutely. As a planning commission, we were certainly sympathetic to the conditions from the original approval and how things changed. Sympathetic to, the plan of a family to try and have lots for the children to stay close. Unfortunately, those aren't things that the Planning Commission can consider when having the application before us. Again, as we talked about the ordinance change that we implemented back in October, it had been the longstanding practice to not allow more than one flag lot off of an access and we believed in that at the time because of the potential issues that it creates long-term, mm-hmm. especially as it comes to maintenance agreements and allowing access, who does own that right-of-way and who can control the right-of-way. One of the other things that we talked about as a planning commission was, again, kind of the landlocked piece. And is there truly no options for alternate access into a piece? And though we understand that there is no appetite currently from the other owners in the area to allow that access. Again, there's undeveloped land that surrounds this. And that potential may not exist now, but it certainly may exist sometime in the future. And that's one of the things that we wrestled with as a planning commission as we looked at it, and whether or not that we felt like there was an exception there for us to consider at the time. At the end of the day, the job of the planning commission is to make decisions based on the ordinances that we have on the books. And out of obviously a desire to not open up undue exceptions and other requests to come before us, it was the decision of the planning commission to again recommend denial. Again, all that aside, we certainly empathize with the family, but based on what the planning commission's job and responsibility is to the city, we felt like that was the best decision.
Thank you, Clint.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I was just going to say, I'm really struggling too, because I guess as we look at exceptions, if we're never going to have an exception, then we ought to not have an exception in that, if we're never going to consider an exception. And that, to me, is what we need to find out. What qualifies as exception?
And to me, it would be if the Planning Commission made a recommendation that they felt that there was an aesthetic or a topographic or an exceptional circumstance that existed and recommended that to us to follow the ordinance, but they did not recommend that. So to me, again, we don't have a recommendation where it specifically says exceptions of this title may be made after the recommendation of the Planning Commission. And we do set a precedent, and that's the concern I have, is the precedent that we set.
Well, after the exception, or after the,
Can I say something that's another exception that you guys, I mean, that's another factor in this property that you haven't considered? The property behind this property is contaminated. Whoever develops that, it's going to be years down the road before it's going to be able to be developed because of that contamination. I've been told that by city officials. So you are essentially denying our family use of our land. You are.
You can still use the parcel that you have just with a single flag on it. It just would
I
be
could
subdivided.
Build a, I guess, a huge complex, put all kids
just,
in it.
It's not necessarily for me to suggest, but I could see that you could potentially have one developed in a manner that would allow for a future subdivision should the access be later available. So you could certainly have one and preserve the rest of that parcel. But again, it's not necessarily to me to suggest. But I just think that you could still use the land. It's not being stripped of its value or its opportunity.
So right here it says after the recommendation, but that doesn't mean whether they recommend denial or approval. It just says recommendation of the Planning Commission. And exceptions may be granted without substantial detriment to the public good. So exceptional conditions exist as it was pre-approved, and the economy goes down, and there's about three or four flag lots on that street already. So what do we have our future plans for that whole area anyway?
How many parcels access each flag, though, is the question. It's not the matter of how many flag lots, but how many shared access points are there. Because if we have lots and lots that have, like, three lots using one flag, then that may be substantiated, but I don't know that we have that circumstance. We do have flag lots, certainly.
And from my perspective, the existence of additional flag lots surrounding is, for me, not an exception. The one exception that I keep going back to is just the prior approval. For me, that's what's a challenge for me.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can see that can possibly
that's the only challenge for me too.
Get it to fly. So my question is, why was, because at that time, my understanding is Planning Commission denied it, City Council granted exception. What was their grounds for exception?
And that's what we don't know.
So yeah. It was against the ordinance.
Oh, sorry. It was the fourth lot. It was the compromise.
So,
When the other one denied it, it was because we wanted four lots back there. And when we came to Planning Commission, they said, if you guys go down to three lots, and each lot meets the half-acre requirement, then we can do this.
But even with that explanation, it doesn't clarify when Bryn has made clear that by practice, it doesn't sound like we were approving, and yet yours was approved. For me, that stands out as very unique in the practice. That's what I'm trying to get my hands around. I'm like, it's hard to know because nobody was
here. If I could ask staff, does staff have an answer to that?
Yeah, so let me just hold on to a second, Gord, if I may.
Okay.
But I'm sorry, we probably, is that okay? I think we've heard quite a bit from the applicant. So let's start at directing questions to staff because I think we're moving in that direction that we need to get more clarification on the issue. So
the policy of the count of the city at the time, not written in code, was we weren't going to have any more lots than just one on a flag lot. But it was not in code. So as applicants brought, not just this one, other flag lots with multiple homes, it was a standard practice to deny them at the Planning Commission and uphold those. This one, again, I think because it wasn't codified and because of, you know, the emotional concern with the resident and the issues that were brought forward, it was recommended for denial at the Planning Commission, brought to the City Council, and because it wasn't codified, it was just a policy. I think the Council had an easier route to approve it. Since that time, we've strengthened, we continue to have the belief of not having any more lots than just one on a flag lot, and we recognize the failure of only having it in policy, even though this has been a long-term policy of the city, the decision was finally to codify it. And so I think that's, I don't know if that had any clarity to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something we're not ever going to know, unless we go get the minutes, is what was the basis of the council's decision to override the Planning Commission's decision. Because right now we don't know that.
You could pull that up if that's something you'd want to see.
So with that, I would like to review that a little bit. I would probably make a recommendation to continue this item then.
Nobody likes to take tons of time on things, but I actually maybe agree with that, do a little more research.
What direction can we give staff to bring back to us to help us provide a resolution on this is the question. More will we learn by continuing this?
Okay, so right now I feel like there's a flaw in the ordinance that was passed 6 months ago. Maybe we should take out that clause on the exceptional condition. That just probably needs to be removed altogether, I would think.
That clause is not in the flag lot section. It's in the subdivision ordinance. So it applies to everything that's required in the subdivision ordinance. So, I mean, it's...
Okay, I still stand the same, though, because then we'll be in the same discussion mode. Yeah.
But if we remove that, what would we resolve about this particular case if we remove...
Well, we don't resolve anything on this particular case. It's just we resolve any future cases. Let's say if that clause was not in there, then it would be black and white, and then we would follow up, or we would follow the... recommendations.
Okay, so you're just directing staff that maybe we need to revisit that issue separately, but specific to this particular agenda item, I think we need to have a decision.
Yeah, for me personally, I don't know what the ramification, why they made the decision 2007 other than they approved it. Okay, they approved it, and so it's our decision. It's our decision as council to say, you know, are we prepared to say, hey, we're going to support the ordinance that has just been put in place in October, or is this an exception because the thing that's weighing on me is the council approved it in 2007 for whatever reason, I don't know.
I guess that's my hang up is the timing is definitely unfortunate for the applicant for sure. But I mean, as we have the ordinance there for a reason, I think we'll all agree that flag lots do pose a definite problem down the road, and it's there for a reason. I personally can't see the only exception that I think fits this definition is that there was a prior exception, and I don't know that that's enough. That
prior
makes
approval.
Sense. That exception doesn't fit the list of exceptions.
Yeah,
that's what I'm struggling with.
Other than that, if it wasn't for that, I don't think we'd probably be done by now. Honestly.
So if everybody's ready to make a decision, I'm ready to make a motion then. Let's see, I will make a motion to approve resolution number R07-2016, approving an exception to the subdivision ordinance to allow three flag lots to be accessed by one driveway.
Craig, do you want to just articulate something, just like you said in there, the...
Yeah.
Just use the quote
out of the exceptional conditions that exist, which was the pre-approval back in 2007.
So your recommendation or your motion is saying to approve this exception and allow for the three flag lots.
Correct.
For this particular applicant. Okay, I have a motion.
I think you declare that the motion has died with no second.
Okay. I will entertain another motion then.
I don't think we need to, on this we don't motion to not approve it, we just not take action on it as a denial.
John?
So I have to see how it's couched. So Bryn, if they want to deny it, do they actually need to deny it or just do nothing? I'm not sure how you couch this.
A motion to approve the resolution.
Well, I wrote a resolution to approve it if they wanted to approve it. So that's...
So inaction is a motion, or it's not taking
that's what
action.
I assume. If they make no motion, then it would be denied, right?
So, but if somebody seconded it and then it was all no's and one yes,
right.
That could be the...
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead then. I will second the motion. Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. Seeing none. Jared?
I'll have to say no with the comment that, as stated previously, the timing is unfortunate, but as it's currently written and the conditions are, I have to say no.
Coralie?
No.
Nicole?
I will say no with one additional comment as well. This council, as we sit here today, are looking at an ordinance that sits in front of us. And so by that alone, I'm upholding the ordinance as it sits today.
Craig?
Yes.
And I will vote yes. So this flag lots was denied. Okay? Okay. On to item six, mayor and council comments. Any items that we'd like to discuss? Okay. Seeing none, calendar items, January 21st, we have our planning commission meeting. And then on the 27th, we have a special joint city council and planning commission meeting, which will begin at 6 o'clock. Okay. I will receive a motion to adjourn our normal council meeting.
And we're going into a close to our...
No, we're going to go into our special community development.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. So a second? Do you need a second?
I need a motion.
Oh, motion first.
Okay.
So a motion to adjourn city council meeting?
Yes.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. All in favor say aye.
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 We're adjourned.